What clothes are you wearing? Might seem an odd question for a Sunday morning, but according to Paul, it seems to be quite important. I will explain. In our passage this morning from Colossians, it's talking about our new life in Christ and contrasting it with our old lives. Now, if we've been Christians a long time, and indeed, many of us have been so-called cradle Christians, it can be hard to remember our old lives before being Christians. Paul, of course, is talking to the very new Christians in Colossae, who will have lived what we might call very hedonistic lives. But nonetheless, his message is still important for us. Our problem as lifelong Christians can be more about getting stuck and not moving forward in our lives. Apathy, sometimes even self-congratulation about how good we are, can blind us to what is really going on. Paul says we have to strip off the old self and clothe ourselves with the new self that is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. This is a complete change of clothing. Yet we know that when we are completely honest, that aspects of old self will creep into our lives. We follow that clothes analogy. Our clothes can get dirty, and sometimes the dirt is coming as much from inside as from outside. But thinking of clothes in the Bible, there are many, many references. Job, remember him, said, "I put on righteousness and it has clothed me." Psalm 132 says, "Let your priests be clothed with righteousness." And Isaiah, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation and covered me with the robe of righteousness." Now, these passages from the Old Testament remind us that this clothing, this getting dressed up, is a two-way thing. Paul was talking about clothing ourselves. These Old Testament words remind us that it's also God who clothes us. There's both active and passive, if you like. But I want to just go one step further into looking to the future, because there's lots of references in the book of Revelation about being clothed in white robes, robes of purity and righteousness. Particularly to ponder in Revelation 7, when John asks the angel, "Who are those there in the white robes?" And the angel says, "These are those who've come out of the great ordeal. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." It does sometimes seem a bit strange to think about washing clothes in blood and them coming out pure and white. But that is the reality of our new lives in Christ. Dirty clothes will be washed in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus himself, and made pure and white and holy. And that, brothers and sisters, is our future. A future foreseen by John in white robes, washed clean and in God's presence. But of course, we have to come back to the here and now. We know that truth that whilst in our souls we are redeemed, yet in the flesh it can be different. Do you remember Paul when he was writing to Timothy? It says, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And then Paul says, "Of whom I am the worst." Paul had insight into the human condition. Paul, in all his goodness and saintliness, knew that he was in the flesh still sinful, but in his spirit saved. And this is true for us, saved by Jesus, yet still sinning. The dirty stains under the righteousness. As we go through life, we must never deceive ourselves about our own goodness, because we've all sinned and we all continue to do so. But we can rejoice that over and above all of that, we are saved and delivered from that sin by Jesus. We can look forward in glory to the white robes. But I think we can take Paul's advice on board, both the active and the passive. The thing we should be doing every day, the active, what we must do, the passive is what God will and has done. Paul said, if you remember, put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly. Clothe yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. Now, one of the problems of our lovely lectionary is that it tends to chop the Bible up into bits. And this passage would be incomplete without reading on to verse 12 about what we should wear, the active, what we must do. So I shall read it to you. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And then let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That's what we do. That's what we must do. And then God does the rest, clothing us with the cloak of righteousness and the white robe of purity. My final thought relates to verse 11. We are seeing in this world so much fear, so much hatred, so many fixed ideologies that are leading to conflicts, to war, to death, and to immeasurable suffering, all due to thinking, you're different to me, I'm right, you're wrong. I don't need to list them because we only need to listen to the news every day to hear. So what does Paul tell us about that? He says, in that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. We could list so many more contrasting backgrounds, beliefs, ideologies, but for us and for all Christians, it should be Christ is all and in all. Oh my goodness. The world would be much, much better place if all humanity grasped that truth. We are all human. We're all God's creatures. We're all made in his image. And as Christians, we should be leading that way. So what are you wearing today? Well, if it's anything other than a white robe, perhaps strip it off and let Christ clothe you in his righteousness. Amen.